Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's become a rite of passage. The Pitt volleyball team in the Final Four for the fourth straight season under the direction of Dan Fisher. They play Thursday in Louisville, 6:30 at the KFC Yum Center, an opponent they're quite familiar with. And now we bring on Pitt volleyball coach Dan Fisher to talk about that. Dan's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Dan, first of all, congrats on getting back to the Final Four again. I mean, this is phenomenal what you guys are doing to be back in this position.
Well, I appreciate that, and man, it's been crazy the last few days, but we're just thrilled to be back with another chance at a national championship.
Well, before we look forward, let's look back here at the first four matches of this tournament. I was at a couple of them, and I know you and I spoke about this earlier this season when myself and Austin came out to attempt to return Olivia Babcock's serve, which didn't go all that well for us, I might add. The atmosphere in the building is just, it's phenomenal. I compare it to Pitt basketball when Ben Howland took over, where there was not a lot of people in the building. And then next thing you knew, it was one of the hotter tickets in town, and it was Mardi Gras, you know, every time they played. Can you talk about what that has been like and how much that helped you guys get where you're going?
The crowds have been incredible. I think we, you know, sold out the field house like our last 10 games. And then we had three matches in the Peterson Event Center with over 10,000 people, and it was just deafening. And, you know, people say Pittsburgh's a sports town, and it's, you know, Pittsburgh certainly has proved that with us.
Coach, I want to ask you about just this run. I mean, you hear in sports all the time that teams like yours are the hunted, that you have a target. You know, everybody's looking to stop Pitt because Pitt has turned into, through your good work and the development of this program, into the team that people want to beat. How was that all season long? I know you lost to SMU earlier, and at the time I thought that was actually probably a good thing, only because at some point you have to face a little something different and then kind of reset. But how has it been knowing that every team knows and wants to get to Pitt?
Yeah, well, there's two ways I look at it. One is we kind of just refuse to accept that. We just feel like everyone's the hunter until you win that national championship. And so we kind of refuse to just kind of accept that people are hunting us. But the other thing is, you know, we've been either first or second in our league for a long time. So within the ACC, we've kind of already had to deal with that over the years. Now it's just a little bit more nationally.
Coach, what do you think separates this team compared to the previous three teams that have gone to the Final Four?
I was going to ask that same thing, Dan. Is this your best team?
It is, and what separates us is the experience. We made three Final Fours in a row with largely different teams. And so, you know, this team is, you know, it just has the experience from last year being in that moment. And so hopefully we learn from it.
Talking to Pitt volleyball coach Dan Fisher here. They're playing Louisville, 6:30 p.m. at the KFC Yum Center. And that raises a question based on my last one. You guys benefited from a home crowd here so far. What do you make of this? You're going to the Final Four and basically playing a road game.
Well, we knew it would be that. I guess that's probably also back to why we think we're the kind of embracing the underdog mindset. There's going to be probably 20,000 people in red. So I think you know, it's going to be hard, but if you want to win it all, it's going to be hard.
So you've played Louisville twice, 5-set, 4-set. I mean, they're a very good team. There's no question about that. What do you learn through those games that you can apply to this one?
Well, each time we play them, we pick up one or two new things. But I think any way you slice it, you know, they are just a great defensive team, as are we. So there's going to be – we're just going to have to rally it out of them. There's going to be some really long rallies, and we need to come – we need to win more of those than they do. I don't think it's going to be just like a first ball type of game.
Dan, when you think about just the overall construction of the team and the success that you guys have had in so many different areas, the impact that Liv has had this year as arguably the best player in the country, what does she mean to the team as such a young player as well as only a sophomore, and can her value really be stated?
No, she's certainly deserving to be in that conversation of National Player of the Year. She's able just to carry a really, really big offensive load. And, you know, in our sport, that's what everyone's important, but certainly point scorers are probably the most important.
Dan, I'm not going to pretend to know anything about volleyball. My daughter loves that I don't know anything about it because I can't pretend to give her advice. But when it comes to Liv and serving, her serve is ridiculous. We know that. Are there times that you... She told us when we went out there that every time she has the same mindset, almost like a pitcher who wants to throw 110 miles an hour on every pitch. Are there times in certain situations where you want her to take a little off, be strategic, more than just trying to blow people away, or do you just let her do that?
No, she's got the green light. There's times I certainly want her to serve in after she's missed a couple in a row, but she's got the green light to hammer it.
Are you still nervous about these big, huge games? How do you deal with your nerves before the game? Because you come off as unbelievably calm, cool, and collected. I don't think any of us has seen you. Have you, Limits? You go to more games than us. Have you seen Dan freak out in any situation?
Not really. He seemed pretty cool. Maybe once or twice, just human nature, but typically a calm, cool cat on the sideline.
So I'd like to put a heart monitor on him, and if so, Dan, what would that look like?
That's a great question. I think we're all going to be a little queued up. You know, it's the athletes, the coaches. I mean, this is what, you know, what we've been dreaming about. So, yeah, we're going to be nervous and we're going to be excited and we're going to use that nervous energy to help us perform.
If you could, Dan, speak a little to how your coaching philosophy was shaped, because again, it certainly seems, just observing you during matches, that you have, I mentioned this to you when I saw you earlier this year, almost a Phil Jackson like sort of vibe to you, where you're unbelievably just calm during matches. Could you speak to how your philosophy was shaped and what is your actual philosophy of coaching?
You want me to go into, is this an interview?
Yeah, we might hire you after this.
Yeah, so, you know, the short answer to that is I think I want to be a coach that can wear all the hats. You know, if I need to ramp it up, I can. If I need to calm it down, I want to be the coach the players need in the moment. But my main philosophy is just really training at a high level every day, hammering the fundamentals and just loving the athletes I coach. And so I just always have felt like if we're training every day at a high level, then we don't need to find something new when we come to a game.
How has the recruiting aspect of what you do changed? Knowing that your program is very well received across the country, you seem to get people from all over. What's, you know, take us back a few years to what it is now. What do you go out and say to people who want to come to this program or should consider it?
Well, it's that part has certainly changed. It's been a process because, you know, you can't get the best players in the country like right away. You have to get the ones you can, and then slowly over time, you know, the top ones start to take notice. And so, you know, now we throw in the transfer portal and NIL, and I'm quite certain we look a lot like football and basketball with how crazy it's getting.
Dan, there was a shot the other day, I think it was Creighton and their coach, and how they go about visualizing. I think all the players were sort of literally laying on the floor, meditating and visualizing how the game might go. What's the pregame like for your team? If we went in the locker room, what would it be like with the women preparing for the game? And how much do you get involved? Do you have a long or short pregame message?
We have routines we do. The girls have some they do individually. And then we have some things we do together. We do some, a guided meditation. We do some visualization in that. We watch video like right before we come out to take the court, just to make sure we're clear on assignments. And then I think there's a time that they're in the locker room listening to music and ramping it up.
Dan, I wanted to ask you about Rachel Fairbanks, who had an incredible year back at Pitt for her senior year, first team all ACC. The setter is really the quarterback of the team out there on the court. How has she been able to guide this offense for you, which is can be a complex one? And what does it say about her leadership as well as a senior?
Well, she's the only full-time starter that's been in every Final Four. And so I think that's all there is to say. She is definitely a winner. She's a great setter, no question. But, over time, she's just the one that seems to be in practice on the winning team more often than not.
We talk about sports and film study and stuff like this, going over things. And we know what it's like in some of the other sports. But for you and your team, how much time do you spend away from the actual court and just going over things that you've maybe detected on video?
We do a lot with staff too. We're almost as bad as baseball coaches, but we spend a lot of time on film we can get lost in it. That's always the debate, is how much, if are we overcoaching them or is this helping? So we can get lost in it, but no, it's a big part of what we do.
Last question, Dan, is do you feel like there's a different level of pressure on your team compared to the others because this is your fourth trip there? And if you do feel like that, how are you addressing it with your players? How are you approaching this? That this time, obviously, we want to finish the job.
I think it's more that we're just trying to do it for each other. Like, you know, my life will be okay if I'm the guy that fails in the Final Four, but I really want to win this for the players and the coaches and the administration, the community. And I know the girls feel the same way. If they're feeling a lot of pressure, they just try to think about the teammate they want to win it for. So that's how we handle it.
Well, man, this is fun to watch, and we'll all be watching on Thursday. Good luck, Dan.
All the best, Dan.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks so much for covering us this year, and appreciate the time.
We'll talk to you later, hopefully after a national championship, Bob. That's Dan Fisher.
And hopefully after they beat Penn State. That would make it even sweeter, wouldn't it, if it came to that?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like I didn't want to ask that because that
no,
would
be I'm not gonna
the,
ask that
the
either,
cardinal sin
yeah,
of but, looking ahead.
But, I mean, we can. It'd be fun to see it.
I think it would
be
incredible.
Two great programs, and it brings a lot of attention to this part of the country for their programs. Both are outstanding.
They've already played this year, too. And Pitt demolished Penn State. It was not a close match.
Early.
I was there.
It was early, right?
It was early in the year.
Again, I know nothing, but I do watch a lot, and I think it's going to be very tough to beat Nebraska. That's my own uneducated opinion. How about you guys? You watch it way more than me.
Nebraska's really good. Penn State did beat Nebraska. So, I mean, you're not going to play the, well, this team beat this team and this means this and that because of the season is difficult.
If I had to pick a team to win it all right now, based on what I have seen with my own uneducated eyes, I'm picking Nebraska. You?
I'm going to go Pitt. I just think Pitt has he said it's their best team, and they've had some really good teams. I think they are the team to beat in this. But I will say that Louisville, watch out for them, because two of those matches were they were hotly contested.
That's concerning.
And they know each other very well, and they're playing with those 20,000 people, as he said, are going to be in red. That ramps you up a little bit more.
At home in the Final Four and the whole notion it's hard to beat a team three times, I have Pitt winning the national championship, but if not, I think it's probably Louisville because they're at home.
I mean, I also think, and they are so fun to watch, and they have I think a couple of their girls are going to be on the Olympic team.
Sure.
I think Babcock, Fairbanks have a chance to do that for sure. I mean, I lived this watching the Bills, who won at such a high level. Think of how big a game the AFC Championship is.
Mm-hmm.
They won four of those in a row. Nobody else has done that.
That's why I think.
But then you get there, Bob, and man, it's just when it starts to accumulate like that, so does the pressure. So I really hope that they can cut through that and win. But the challenge is monumental.
There's no question about that. And you know, I respect what he says about they consider themselves still hunting, but I think most people look at this and say Pitt's been number one in the country all season. They swept like their first 19, whatever it was. I mean, they were sweeping everyone. Should have had a Hoover sponsorship or something of that nature. But, you know, the bottom line is I think people look at them as the team to beat, and that's a great thing to have, but it also comes with challenges.
Yeah, I don't know. Do they look at that, or do they look at Nebraska as the team to beat? I honestly
again,
don't know
I think
about
even
that.
With an SMU loss, they remain number one in the country, and they haven't gone from that position all year.
And then again, well, Nebraska's won. They won it in 17. They lost in 18, and they've been there two of the last 3 years to the final.